open the work session on House Bill 3042. And the chair will give us an update.
What you have in your packets are the SMSs from when this originally passed from the House Committee and then from the Senate Committee, and a copy of the bill as it appeared in each of those two forms. We do not have any amendments that have been presented so far to deal with today. So we're really looking at either the House option or the Senate option, or perhaps something conceptual.
Could you give us an idea of what those are, the options?
The options would be to return to in the form of the bill that was passed by the House, which simply repealed the provision that required school districts to provide a two-year seat time, that there was a requirement for a two-year seat time in the foreign language. It repealed that. As opposed to in the Senate version, which would have just delayed the requirement that all the students would have in the 2 years of seat time, it would have delayed that to the 2004-2005 school year.
Sure, I'm questioning the word seat time. I don't recall that in any of the bills.
Okay, yeah, that's not language from the bills.
Right, so it's okay.
Okay.
Norm, you said second language. Now, does this bill address, teaching two languages, or English counters one of the two?
No, this, I guess that's another way of saying a foreign language. It's the foreign language requirement, or the requirement that a language other than English be taught.
In addition to. And yes. So the second language.
That's right.
Okay, Representative Hoffman, you have some input that you'd like to give from the committee?
No.
Cindy, would you like to come and talk to us? I mean, you steered us so ably yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Cindy Hunt, Legislative Counsel's Office, for the record, I don't think I have anything to add to what Norm said, unless anyone has any questions.
Okay. Ozzie, you want to come and talk to us about how you wanted to at least synchronize the dates, or what you had in mind with the dates? And
Mr. Chair, I'm just saying for the record, I'm Ozzie Rose, Association of Oregon School Administrators, and I'll share with Norm, I use the term seat time. It's not a good idea to use that in front of folks. It's just sort of trouble. The bill that was introduced on the House side eliminated the two-year graduation requirement. When it went to the Senate, it was amended and set the requirement back to 2005. And one of our objections to having the two requirements is that they're two different requirements for different groups of kids. And if you set it back to 2005, it at least gets us synchronized with the same cohort of kids meeting the SIM requirement in their 10th grade, and then when they're seniors, they meet the other requirement. Long term, we still have some concerns about the meeting the resource needs to do this, but that may well, we may be able to do that, and we can discuss that over the next 5 years. But at a minimum, we would be telling all the districts the rules are the same for the kids as they go through the system, and it would be better in terms of we will have to go start getting waivers and so forth to try to comply with the graduation requirement at the present time. If you set it back to 2005, it matches the rest of the statute and related to SIM and the languages.
2005. Senator Harkin.
Ozzie, do I understand you to say then that you object to the 2004-2005 school year? You want 2005-2006?
Mr. Chair, no, Senator. The class of 2005 will be the 10th graders of 2002.
Okay. And talking about the graduating class.
Right, right. It matches school year the way the Senate did it, yes.
So the easiest solution would be to just extend this to 2005?
Yeah, the easiest solution, barring the House bill, would be for the House to concur with the Senate amendments it extends to 2005, and then we'll go on and work on how do we get the job done.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Barr.
If extending it out 4 years, 3 years is good, why don't we extend it out 10 years and make it better?
Is that a classic question?
A serious question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beyer, that could happen. We did that with kindergarten, set it out so far, we didn't think we'd have to worry about it. Eventually you do. The issue is you're still going to have to deal with this. Are we going to make it work or not work? And we wouldn't object if you set it out further. But I think that putting in the 2005, we can at least get it on the table and figure out what we're going to do about it.
What about if you set it out even further, would that create any kind of advantage fiscally?
Well, fiscally, the longer it's put off, the less pressure there will be in a school that doesn't have the resources, doesn't currently provide the language. You're going to have a certain number of sections of language to meet every kid's need. And obviously, if you don't do this, then until 2007 or 9 or some other number, there won't be the pressure to put your what resource you have into languages. You'll be able to spread them out other things that you have to do. So that is an advantage.
Mr. Chair, I still prefer the House bill version of it to a repeal because it is redundant. Just as Ozzie said, it's already in the SIM requirement. You know, it really makes no sense to me to have it still in another place. But as the people have said, the Senate version is better than no bill,
mm-hmm.
but it's not as good as the original bill.
Comments from the committee?
Mr. Chair, I hope that we will concur with the Senate amendment. I hope that's the direction that we're moving in. And I realize that Representative Hobson said that she did not wish to testify, but I want to I really like to draw on the representative's experience. And if you would be willing to come forward.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Well, she's coming, man.
Please.
I want it very clear that we would prefer the Senate bill as is to no bill at all.
Well, it was actually my intention was to just not do this, to just leave it as it is. But if we do need to have a clarification of date, because I understand it would create a major waiver problem, so we need to do something before we leave here. So.
Thank you.
Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Elaine Hobson, State Representative from District 2, and I do appreciate the opportunity to at least share my feelings. I concur with what Dr. Rose has said in regard to the Senate bill being an improvement and also to make sure that the dates affect the cohort in the same manner that the rest of the regulations do. And one thing that may have been a little confusing is the fact that I did vote for the House bill when it was in the House. I did that because some people who shall remain unnamed had a tendency to be calling me Ms. No, and I thought this one was somewhat innocuous and that I could get by and try and support something. But in all honesty, I believe what the Senate did was a great improvement, and I support it more.
Thank you very much for putting that on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Green, any comments? Does it matter to you one way or the other?
Well, Mr. Chair, may I ask the Senate committee that changed the bill when the people who come and testify said that the original House bill is the preferred bill, why then did you change the bill and what is the reason for now wanting to go stick with the Senate amendments?
Senator Hartman.
Speaking as chairman of the Senate committee, I don't recall saying in favor of the House bill.
No, I didn't say you, Mr. I said the people, Mr. Rose just said, and Mr. Green concurred, he said that they preferred the House version, but the Senate version was better than no bill at all. Is that correct, Mr. Rose?
But I just now heard him say that he prefers the Senate over no bill.
Over no bill.
Yeah.
But my statement is, why were you opposed to the original bill?
Because you don't always agree with what Ozzie says first time around.
Sometimes the second time around, but...
Second time around is...
But I think also, Mr. Chair, if I may, we should also point out that there was other testimony in our committee. Looking through my bill file, I recall a woman, Terry Carnes, who is with the Confederation in Oregon for Language Teaching. I think the acronym is... And I personally found her testimony to be very compelling in that she was making a case for the importance of our students, all Oregon students, achieving a second language, which would greatly aid their ability to be competitive in the world. So I guess the point I would make is that while we heard from Dr. Rose and other education-related organizations, those weren't the only voices we listened to. We respect those voices, but there were other testimonies.
But yet, this bill will not change that requirement of the second language because that requirement is in another place in the statute.
It does show up twice. Just come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob Wilner, Confederation in Oregon for Language Teaching, known as COFLT. We were among those who testified in support of the amended version because we felt that although foreign language is mentioned, I think the second language is mentioned twice in the bill, without Section 487, that reference to second language is very unspecific and rather weak. It leaves it entirely to the discretion of the school district how much language and how it shall be assessed. It has no statement of purpose. 487 has a strong statement of purpose for learning foreign language for all students. And moreover, it had been made fairly clear in the course of the past several years that a SIN requirement would not be a requirement for all students. A great many schools have indicated they do not, as I understand it, have indicated they don't expect all students to go for the SIN. The two-year requirement we saw as a reinforcement of the SIN. I think it makes very good, much better sense to have them in the same time frame. They could have been in the same section of the law, except, as I recall, in 1995, things were not that close together. But the main purpose is to have that beacon on the hill that Terry Carnes talked about that says everybody has to have a second language for the 21st century. I hope that clarifies.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordon.
If I may, I was searching for a place in the testimony that I referenced for a more accurate representation of what Terry Carnes, Ms. Carnes, said when she testified before the Senate Education Committee, and if I may just read some of the testimony. First of all, Ms. Carnes teaches Spanish at Corvallis High School, and she's president of the Confederation in Oregon for Language Teaching. It's an organization made up of 529 current members, all teachers of second language across the state. And these are teachers who are very concerned about the consequences of House Bill 3042 as it was when the bill made its way to us. She said in her testimony, and I quote, the headlines that appeared in the newspapers when the House voted to pass House Bill 3042 appeared at a time when many students were registering for classes for the upcoming school year. Parents saw the reports and immediately assumed that 2 years of the second language were no longer needed to graduate from high school. Counselors and administrators felt relief. They addressed their faculty saying the second language requirement is essentially gone. As a result, enrollments in second language classes for upcoming school year are down. Perhaps more serious is that House Bill 3042 takes away the beacon that gives support and direction to second languages. Parents, counselors, and administrators have begun to assume that the SIM second language requirement is no longer in effect, and that the second language requirement to enter OUS institutions also will disappear. So for whatever this information is worth, I put it on the record. I thought Ms. Kearns made some very important points, and one of those certainly is how will our students be prepared to enter Oregon's institutions of higher learning, prepared or not?
I think with the chair would entertain one or two motions, either return to the House bill or concur with the Senate amendments. I think we'll eliminate the possibility of doing nothing based on what we've heard, that we do need to do something. So,
Chair?
Representative Byer.
I move the Senate receive from the Senate amendments dated May 11th and that the bill be repassed.
Representative Byer moves that we receive from the Senate amendments and that the bill be repassed. Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Senator Duncan?
No.
Senator Gorbin?
No.
Senator
Harkin?
No.
Votes aye. Motion fails.
I move that the Conference Committee concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 3042.
Senator Harkin moves that the Conference Committee concur in the Senate amendments on House Bill 3042, and we pass the bill. Discussion?
Mr. Chair. clarification.
Representative Byer.
I believe this motion will take two members from the House and two members from the Senate voting aye in order to pass any motion in the Conference Committee. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Further discussion? Clerk will call the roll. Senator Duncan.
Couldn't leave everybody in an awkward position, couldn't we, for 2 minutes?
We could. I would hope that we would have something rather than nothing, but we do have a motion on the table. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Senator
Duncan.
Aye. Senator Gordon.
Aye.
Senator Harper.
Aye.
Secretary.
Votes aye. Motion is passed. And I'll carry this on the House side, and Senator Duncan will carry on the Senate side. Nothing.
We need to.
No, actually, you won't. This is a concurrent. Okay. Okay, we'll send that. We're going to carry on the Senate side. But we do need to have three copies signed before everyone leaves. So if we just pass those down, and we'll all sign. Nothing further to come before the committee.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you.